to Fight Scene with F16, where we talk to legendary trainers and fighters from across Australia and New Zealand, where they share their wisdom, stories to help us become better people inside and outside the ring. Today we've got session two with legendary trainer Lolo Hamuli. We hear some of his amazing stories, what he's done in the sport, so tune in. Lolo, I'm going to ask some out-of-the-box questions. Mm-hmm. If you got to sit down and have dinner with three people, passed away or alive, who would those three people be?
Oh, I've never been asked this question before. I've asked a lot of questions. Yeah, probably my dad. I had two dads, you know. And also a lot of things that you never really tell them, you know, you never really tell them how much you love them and stuff like that. I had a lot of people that died, you know, but I'll have more than three, you know what I mean? Those that passed that you never really had a conversation to really show you how much and how much you love them. But, you know, I would like to pick Bruce Lee's brain. I'm pretty sure Terry will probably tell you the same thing. If you ever pick somebody to talk to past, probably Bruce Lee.
Yeah. So Ray's the president of, what is it?
PFL. It's Professional Fighting League.
PFL. I don't know
if he's still the president, but he's still in the executive committee. But when they started, Ray was the president. He was the face of the associations. Did Dana White flying around on the private jets. I said, Ray, when you get a private jet, take us all right, you know?
Lolo, you've trained many champions, world champions. What do you think are some important things that make up champion?
You know, of course, you gotta have the talents, but consistency probably beat the odds more than talents, you know? But of course, you got talent, you know, you can't win consistently talent, but you can't win without it. But, when you have a guy that consistent plus the talent, they become make a star. I counted Ray's missing out training 1 year, and it was not just Ray, but a few guys there, because, you know, they were inspiring each other back at the old gym. And I think Ray only missed out three training class the whole year. And so he deserved all the achievement that he got from the sport because he worked so hard for it. Guys like Jason Moore, who end up winning a world title, but at the beginning he was talented, but the consistency was what took him there. And I always tell the story to the guys at the gym. It took Jason Moore nearly 2 months just to learn how to skip properly. You know, little kids will pick up how to skip in 2 minutes.
Hey, sorry, Jason, if you're watching, I'm not laughing at you, bro.
This is not mocking, Jason. It's sorry to inspire other people, you know?
Yeah.
That if you consistent and you keep training consistently. There's so many people talented people that fail because of their lack of consistency. So many geniuses have failed because lack of consistency, you know? You know, so many smart people are not going anywhere because they're not consistent, you know? And a lot of people that, you know, not consistent, then their marriage doesn't work out, you know? So to me, consistency is probably the key to everything. That's something that we never really look at.
Yeah. So are you Tongan?
Yes.
Tongan Lolo. Yeah. You would have probably known Rick Kulu?
Yes. I know Rick. He fought Ray Sefo. We took there and fight him in Sydney. And Rick Kulu is a tough Tongan, you know? Yeah. He's tough. But Ray really outbox Rick Kulu, and he's more like a boxer.
Right.
Yeah. I always get our guys to spar with a lot of boxers here, and Ray really outbox Rick, but Rick Kulu was very impressed with Ray, and the word of encouragement that he gave Ray after the fight helped Ray to build more and more confidence, because Rick Kulu was training with Alex True. Alex True is a cousin of mine.
He's your cousin.
Yeah, we were with Alex before Alex went to Australia.
All right. This is another out-of-the-box question, Lolo. If you could choose two celebrities to fight each other, so you're probably like me, Lolo. I don't watch much TV. I'm not really up with who the current ones are, but you might know some. So if you could get two celebrities to fight each other, who would they be?
I would probably get Donald Trump to fight Jim Walsh. You know, the American, the opposition, you know, the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay, yeah. Which one would you train?
It's such a, it's a fight. You want to be a trainer, you want to watch. I'll train neither of them. In fact, I've probably got them half a dozen of turkeys so they can drink before the fights.
Yes.
That'll be my coaching.
What's the best advice that you have ever received, and who gave it to you?
Yes, I can answer it very, very quickly. So I have a lot of awards, and I'm not bragging about it. I've got awards, including Hall of Fame awards. The one that I received recently, I get recognized by the community and the police for working with the kids. But it means so much to me because I probably did that long, way before it was recognized as a thing to do. Because most of guys come to the gym, they would just walk in on the street, or sometimes bring his own mates, and a lot of them come from gang family. We never charge anybody. And a lot of them, they end up to be fighters. You know, where do you think I get all the fighters from? But a lot of them, I wasn't doing it for recognition. So they gave me something that I've been doing anyway, something that I enjoy doing anyway, which is means a lot to me. So,
what about if there's some young ones watching, Lolo? They're into the kickboxing, or even like nowadays, because the UFC is the big thing, they might want to one day get to the UFC. What's some advice that you've got for the younger ones watching?
Yeah. Well, one is that you have to associate with people that, like a couple of my guys that want to do MMA. Recently, and we don't have the facility for that, but I know they're talented enough to make UFC, so I advise them to go to CKB and then train with Eugene and them, But my advice, favorite advice to people is what I already told you. It's just go in there and just be consistent in what you do, yes, you set a goal and stuff, but you just need to be consistent and keep to it. And you never know. I mean, I was doing the kickboxing and fighting coach because I enjoy doing it, and I've always been consistent in what I do. I've never stopped learning. Even today, I'm still want to learn, And I pray to the Holy Spirit every day to give me more knowledge and wisdom. But consistency, you have to stay consistent on what you do.
Yeah.
And it was like a long sleep, and you wake up. Because time flies very fast when you're always busy, okay? You asked me how old I am, I said I'm 6'4", but I don't feel like 64. I don't know whether I convinced myself to say that. when you have so much fun, the time flies, and then I look back, and people are talking, they say, oh, man, I wish to go there, and they're bucket listing, and I realize I've been around most of the globe with the fight games,
Yeah, right.
That's a bonus that comes with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go to Eastern Europe on a regular tour. When I used to work with Alexei Ignacev, I would never be able to afford it. I'd never be able to go to Japan and stay in 5-star hotels and all this. I would never, I'm average guy. I don't, have much money, but I found myself, because of staying consistent of what I do.
Well, what do you do to develop good character in your fighters? How do you develop that?
Things, can't remember who said it, but I borrowed this because it was somebody mentioned on a martial art shop, a martial art book that I read, that the discipline and the people they found themselves at the gym, and the discipline and rules of the gym became a character to a lot of those young rough guys, and before they realize it, they become their friends, you know, because if you hang around with the right people and make the right decision, and you know, then the chances are you're gonna end up act like them. But if you hang around with the wrong people that do things that not very good, then are you gonna end up like that? And this is possible for human, but they reckon that if you put a true grandfather clock, you know, like different beat, they reckon it next to each other in about 2 years, they're gonna synchronize, you know?
Okay, Lolo, is there something that you wish somebody had asked you but nobody had ever asked before?
Some of the questions that a lot of people ask me is, who was your most naturally talented fighter that you ever coach? And they expect me to say somebody like my Rashid or Mark Hunt, you know, Jason Sadi. A lot of the kids that, you know, I'm going to go back to their consistency. A lot of the kids, they walk in there with amazing talents, way better than some of the guys that they see on TV now to become legend. But they never hang around long enough to look. I've got so many kids that, you know, you look in, get kids that walk in the gym, you can see them. When you get them throw a round kick and never throw one before in your life, you can hear the best mesh. And when they crack the bag or pads with just rough punches, so the timing is correct. Then after about 3 legs, 3 weeks later, you don't see them, you know. They are the one that I'm talking about, you know. To mention the name, some of the big names that I work with, some of these kids, they never hang around long enough. I know why a lot of my guys now that become like a household name, because they work so hard for it. Some of the kids they're so super talented, but said don't hang around long enough, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you've seen some of them, you know what I'm talking about, anyways.
Yeah. Oh, so did you train Mark Hunt?
I worked with Mark Hunt when he was later years at the UFC.
Yeah, right.
But I knew Mark Hunt before anyway. In fact, when he was fighting Nathan Briggs, I tell that story. He talked about that story in his book.
Yeah.
And Lucy Tui came up to me and said, can you come and do Mark's hands and can you help him in the corner? And I said, yeah, sure. And the fight was, you know, of course, Nathan had the better kick, better reach, and better Muay Thai skills, and he was smashing Mark's leg. And I said, Mark, you got to do something about this leg kick, you know? But what I mean was to check it. And if you read the book, you know, because it was a modified Muay Thai, it was not elbow, things like that, you know? It's, who's the guy that used to run the WKA in Brisbane?
Jimmy Cass, yeah.
And Jimmy Cass always have a lot of bikies followers, and you know, all of a sudden, Mark on the corner let rip with a big downwards elbow.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody jumping there. I had my little girl, by the name is Petrina. She's only about 45 kg. I jump in there with Petrina and then Paul Briggs and Dave and them. But lucky that I know each other. We know each other. And I'm down and I said, Mark, what's with you, bro? And he said, you told me to do something. I said, take the kick.
Far out.
You got a bad mess, man. You look at that. Me and two. Yeah, and look at all 1,500 bikers around here.
Yeah. I'll have to read that book.
So, and you talk about it in the book, you know. Then I remember when you came back, and Lucy Drew was talking about this guy. And I've seen Mark fight, you know, like Nathan cracked him with a shin kick to the head. Without a blink. And he was keep going for it. I could see that the power was Mark and his body rhythm. And I said to Lucy, why you want to worry about the other guy? Yes, he might be good. Why don't you focus on Mark? I didn't realize that Mark was listening. So he put it in a book too. I'm the K1 star.
Yeah, wow. What about, who was some people you looked up to in boxing or kickboxing that you met, like in your travels around the place? Yeah. So like that were like stars for you, or that you really like to meet?
Oh yeah, I mean, Bernard Hopkins was one comes to mind. I've never met him, but I would have loved to. Because he did something that a lot of boxers don't do. A lot of boxers have their own coach, and sometimes their coach passes on what they know. Bernard Hopkins learned his skill in jail.
All right.
And he was in sometimes we do things that we think is good habit, but in a modern game, it's probably bad habit. And he was on and in practice what makes sense to him. And he became the oldest boxer, you know, even in 50, was still beating young guys. So he's doing something correct. And I saw him, you know, like, it's a shame because he spent a lot of his time earlier years in jail, you know. But I look at the way how he executes his hand position, his balance, you know, like if he brings his gun, as he throws it. And it was almost like a flawless performance, you know, like he doesn't have all the stuff that you see with all the fancy moves that, you know, you see a lot of people do, you know. Bernard Hopkins was, he was very tidy. And it was one of the reasons why he was still beating young guys in his 50s. I said, there's something to be studied here. Met Benny the Jet. I met Cunningham, you know, like it's, you know, I have dinner with Disonoy and Samat and all those guys, legend.
Yeah. Last question, Lolo. Have there been any moments in your career where you faced self-doubt? And how did you deal with that?
All the time. All the time. And some people who are Christians probably won't agree. But if you don't, just try it. I always ask God, because doubt is the devil's weapon against us.
You're right.
I always ask God to keep take the worries away.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I do it before. Oh, you know, the fights, you know, I always take the worries away. You know, can I give it to you? You know? So, and that's how I deal with it. I mean, it's, other people have different, just young guys, you know, put their earphone on, have the heavy music distract their mind. That will be work for them too. You know, for me, I just ask God to take away my worries. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for your time, Lolo.
Well, good, bro. Thank you so much, Danny, bro.